Oh, kind of stung. She said, John wants to know if you have a devotion that you can read. Oh, and I've got something that I did write years ago. It's a testimony of sorts. I write, mostly what I write is story. I'm a storyteller. Truthful, but storyteller nevertheless. I spent years, and my heart is missions. For those that don't know me well, I love mission trips better than ice cream. If I get a chance, and I don't care where in the world that God will send me, I'm like, I'll go, even without a passport. But anyway, that's kind of an inside thing. And I entitled this, The Best Christmas Gift. She greeted us at her back door with hugs and warm words of welcome. I felt like I had come home. Her ceiling-high Christmas tree blinked a welcome with multicolored lights and beautiful ornaments. Our small mission team had arrived in eastern Kentucky after dark. It was even snowing. Weary from more than 6 hours on the road, Miss Dora Ross was a committed Christian lady who, after her mother's death, began opening her home to mission teams who came to preach, hold vacation Bible school, take food to shut-ins, repair houses, and provide help in any way they could. These people that lived in her community in Lee County, Kentucky. Owsley County is right next to it. Those are two of the poorest counties in Kentucky, eastern Kentucky. I had been one time before this Christmas time. I had been on a summer mission trip where we did repair a roof. We did all kind of things, had vacation Bible school, and all those little mountain kids. Only one child showed up at our vacation Bible school. They were suspicious of outsiders. And so what we did, we bagged up all the things we had. And we had little goodie bags for them to take every day. And we went, when we saw a house that had toys and bicycles or what in the yard, evidence of a child living there, we would stop. And some of them came to the door, very few. Most of them we just put on the mailbox or someplace where they could get. So we took Bible school to them. And so we did other things during the day. We sorted through clothes, and it was July. School would be starting soon. And we bagged things. We bagged things to sell in their little store they had to help support the ministry. The neat thing was we laid out sheet after sheet after sheet. We had a lot of good clothes because we had carried, and other people at that time had brought so many bags of clothing that were good. And it was opened up to the community, and they came to shop for their school clothes for their children, except the shopping didn't have any money. Nobody had to pay anything, but they picked out nice clothes. Because we went through the bags to see if there was anything that, if we wouldn't wear it, we figured, and our kids, we didn't want our kids to wear it, it went in the trash. It's amazing to me what people will get rid of to give sometime to people that they think will wear anything. But if it's not good enough for me to wear, then it's not good enough for them to wear. And we kind of went with that. That theme. So this was my first trip back to Miss Dora Ross's house. They started doing these mission trips, and her mother's room had never been opened after her mother died. She couldn't bear to open her mother's room. It stayed locked. And she was seeking God's will to what to do with her house. She had never married, and her little house, you could see the through the floors when she was growing up, and it had been improved. Some mission teams that would come in and see the chickens going around scratching underneath the house, and grew up very, very poor. When her daddy died, it was snowing, and she didn't have a coat. And she wore kind of a thin dress. It was just heartbreaking, her hardship. But she turned those hardships that she had in early life to help other people, and she spent her entire life helping people. She never turns anybody away. And people, it would spread, word would spread. This was the first Christmas we were up there to do that. I have been on trips up there where we've had a couple of trucks carrying heating and air conditioning systems, wood stoves, different things that people have had donated. She couldn't stand anybody to be cold, so we carried heaters and whatever, electric blankets. It was just amazing what people gave. Blankets and heaters and things like that, things that kept people warm. She had a little store in there that supported that ministry. She never charged anybody anything for a blanket, a coat, a heater, or anything like that if they didn't have the money to pay for it. And it was true need that we saw there. But that night, as we sat down to a late supper of sandwiches, chips, iced tea, we started planning for the next day, because that was ground zero the next day, where we would agree to around 300 people and their parents or guardians. Gifts would be provided for every child. Not a gift, but gifts. Toys and clothing and hygiene items. Fruit baskets had been prepared for every family. Under the tree were the gifts, which had been colorfully wrapped. And they extended, because other people that do missions, they extended from that tree over half the room. We couldn't get in most of the room because the gifts for those families were there. We brought additional gifts. And those we brought needed wrapping. Midnight was approaching as we got through wrapping the gifts. Miss Dora asked about the Santa Claus suit she thought we were bringing. I'm not sure we knew about that. Needless to say, we didn't have anything like that. We showed up empty-handed in that category. So we decided to make do with what we came up with there. Miss Dora found a Santa hat. We crafted a beard and mustache by cutting out some white cardstock and gluing cotton balls to it. I happened to have brought a red jacket. Had a fringe, white fringe, furry-looking fringe around the hem, around the cuffs, down the front. And it was a stretchy jacket. And a pillow was found that would fit under that. The next morning, after an early breakfast, and I stress early breakfast, we prepared to greet our guest. Mike was designated to be Santa. And donned the red hat, the cardboard / cotton ball beard and mustache, his facial hair, and the red coat over the pillow. The rest of his attire was blue jeans and tennis shoes. Before we knew it, kids of all sizes, ages, came in tow, their parents in tow. I'd never seen so much excitement in my life. I've got two kids. We went to see Santa Claus when they were little. We did all that stuff. But I had never seen the excitement on any child's face as I saw on those children. They were beautiful. It was Saturday before Christmas, and Santa Claus was there. That's all they needed to know, those kids. And do you think that they noticed or cared that Santa Claus was wearing blue jeans and tennis shoes? They didn't care. As far as they were concerned, Santa could wear whatever he wanted to. As Santa gave each child their presents, he said to them, "Getting presents is fun." And we all love this part of Christmas. And we do, don't we? We love that. But he said and told each child in his lap, "The real reason we celebrate is because it's Jesus' birthday." Along with a fruit basket, every adult was given a bookmark. And Santa said, "This is for you to use in your Bible." More than a few said, We don't own a Bible. I don't own a Bible. So Santa then picked up a brand new Bible on the table beside his seat and handed them one and said, "Now you do. You have one now. I encourage you to read it every day." For several years after that, Christmas was not complete unless I spent the weekend before Christmas in the hills of Kentucky, backwoods of Kentucky. That first Christmas and the Christmases after, when I would leave, we hadn't had Christmas, so the Christmas day hadn't come. But I felt like, wow, this was a wonderful Christmas. And then I would remember, I've still got family, Christmas with family. How blessed I was, and the rest of our teams that went up there. I cannot even describe the joy that I got from those trips. We went summer and Christmas. And we were blessed to have the privilege to minister to those who lived in Miss Dora's community and outside the community. We had opportunities to talk with those who brought their children to see Santa Claus. And the word of our testimony was heard by many of them. And the verse, one of my go-to verses, and this is Revelation 12:11a, reads, "And they overcame him, Lucifer," because this particular scripture centers around when Michael threw Satan out of heaven, Lucifer out of heaven. "So they overcame him," who is Lucifer, "because of the blood of the Lamb." And listen to this. This is so important. "And because of the word of their testimony." We all, if we know Jesus, whether we know Jesus or not, we got testimonies. We tell about things we've done. But when we're Christians, we have the best testimony in the world, and the world needs to hear it. All those years of spending part of my Christmas in the backwoods of Kentucky was life-changing to me. It was a blessing to minister to them. We had a pediatrician from my old church who would go a lot of the years, and when she went, she would bring her medical kit, and she'd patch up sore places, cut places. She would take blood pressure. She would do. I've got a friend who was a hairdresser. She took a team of her hairdressers that she in the community and went up there and did all the ladies' hair and cut men's hair too, all free of charge. Gave perms, did color jobs, did all kind of things because they loved those people. It was a blessing to minister to them and witness some of them making the life-changing decision to accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus so willingly gives. He offers it. He's done the job. He died on the cross for our salvation. He's paid it all. But if we don't accept it, it's not ours. Born a baby in Bethlehem, Jesus came to live among us and to become one of us. He was born to die so that we may live. His death on the cross paid for our sins, like I just said, and it's up to us whether we receive his precious gift or not. The amazing grace of Jesus is ours for the taking. This gift of eternal life with him. The first Christmas that my husband and I were married, oh my goodness, I was 18. Well, I'd just turned 19 that first Christmas. But I was away from my family and my mother, and it was hard. It was really hard. I was so homesick. That was in Dalton. But it was about 3 hours back then to get from his home to my home. And the people that were the kindest to me, that I loved the best in Dalton, were Bobby's grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Anderson. They were like, I didn't have grandparents growing up. When I was 7, my grandfather died, and I'd lost 2 grandmothers when I was young. So I didn't grow up with grandparents. But God gave me back. And the reason I know that it was his will that I marry Bobby Wales was because several things point to it. Because I've got the best boys in the world, I think. Of course, all you think yours are. But, you know, we all have our opinions about that. But The thing that did it was when I was born, I had three grandparents. I had two grandmothers and a grandfather and lost them. When I married Bobby, God gave me back two grandmothers and a granddaddy. And I've just been right. It's not his fault. It didn't last. We were just too young and enough of that. But his grandmother and grandfather just made me feel at home, just loved. And I was. And I loved them really a whole lot, like they were mine. But I wanted to do something special for Grandma that first Christmas. And I wasn't going to be able to go home that Christmas. And first Christmas, the only Christmas I've ever missed with my parents. But I found a beautiful, the best looking bathrobe at Belk's that they had that I thought would look so pretty on Grandma. And I bought that bathrobe. She opened the package and she said, "Oh, that is the most beautiful bathrobe I have ever seen." And she said, "But it's too pretty to wear every day. I'm going to put it in the chest, and when I go to the hospital, I'll take it with me." Well, as far as I know, she never wore that bathrobe. Probably by the time she went to the hospital, the thing was out of style, probably. This was one of the quilted, silky-looking, nylon-looking bathrobes, kind of short length, knee length. Gorgeous. By the time she became a patient, she may have even forgotten about it by then. Grandma had opened the gift from us, but it was never really hers because she put it aside. She put the robe aside, the gift aside. Jesus didn't give us the gift of salvation for us to cast aside. He loves us so much and wants a relationship with us. One where he daily speaks to us and spends time with us. He loves us with an everlasting love. I have no idea. I like to assume that everybody where I'm speaking and when I'm speaking knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. But, you know, I'm not even going with that assumption. I'm going to say that if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's waiting on you to do it. He's already paid the cost for you by dying on the cross. He's done that. You just have to accept that. So if anybody is in here that lacks that, I strongly encourage you to do something about it. Because Christmas is a perfect time to accept the perfect gift from a perfect Savior. Amen.